Hey, hi, everybody.
Hi.
Welcome back from, well, I mean, it's not welcome back from Halloween at this point. It's almost Thanksgiving at this point.
Yeah. Can you believe it? Oh, my gosh. You know, I was thinking the other day, and I might stop me if I've said this before, but, you know, everybody's like, I feel like the year just flew by, you know?
Yeah.
And like, before you know it, 2019 is just like over. And it's like, okay, well, yeah, but if we stop acting like it's Christmas the
day after
Halloween, or even the day before Halloween, I was seeing Christmas stuff at Michael's like 2 weeks before Halloween even like started. Even happened.
Yeah, if we want the year to slow down, we need to stop celebrating the last holiday of the year 3 months early.
Exactly.
Just saying.
Exactly. You got like 2.5 months, guys. Come on. Like, settle down. If we stop. Just stop.
Just stop. But as of right now, it's, or at least for us, it's November 8th, 9th. It's the 9th. So it's like the first week of November. I've already backed into my garage door. And today they got my McDonald's order wrong. So at least for now, it hasn't been my day, my week, my month, but my year's been okay.
Yay! Yay! I'm glad your year's been great. Overall, hey, collective average, positive. Let's keep it that way. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry to hear about your garage door.
I just wanted to make a Friends reference. But yeah, my garage door, that was, I felt so stupid. Like, I mean, I know everybody's done something like that at some point in their life, but basically it was like 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm not used to waking up that early. So I didn't think. I went down. I didn't push the button to the garage door to open it. I just got in my car, you know, cause I was a sleepy boy and just backed up, you know, and I didn't realize it until I heard the crunch.
Too much junk in your trunk.
Too much junk in my trunk. And,
just right through the garage door.
Right there.
Uh-oh.
But I had to call like repairmen to come let me out of my garage because I was stuck.
Oh my gosh. Help me, handsome repairman. Help me.
So they came and let me out and then, you know, just closed the garage door behind me. And then I'm using my other garage door, which has, it's manual. So I actually have to like lift that one up myself. And then, yeah, they're going to come fix it or replace it in 3 weeks, you know, and that's like $1,500.
Ugh.
Yay, being a homeowner.
Yay, homeownership. Well, you learn real fast not to do that one again.
Right? Yeah, I definitely learned my lesson. Oh, I feel like a dummy. So what have you been up to? Because hopefully you haven't backed into your garage.
Well, I'm currently in the process of just diving headfirst into remodeling my master bathroom.
Okay.
Just because, like, it's time. It needs to be scrubbed clean. It's got some horrible wallpaper in it, which is making this a lot harder. And it's got a teeny tiny shower in it. Mm. But it's been a learning experience and we're going to get it done and it's going to look beautiful when I'm done. So I'll post pictures, you know.
So what's the plan? Is it to like replace the small shower with like a tub shower or
something? The shower's staying at least. The toilet will stay and stuff. I'm like painting the walls like
gotcha.
With some mildew resistant like paint and
right.
like actually putting some thought into storage in there and stuff and some like towels and I want to like hang a plant in there just because, you know, a little misty boy. Just
yeah.
like stay up in the in the shower and just do your thing, man. So
that's a good idea.
But yeah, so just another part of the house just getting settled in. So
there you go.
It's been a very slow process. But yeah, that's kind of the project right now and gearing up for Thanksgiving. So
yeah.
maybe I'll make a turkey this year. Probably not.
You don't like
Probably
turkey.
Probably not. No.
So that's okay.
No.
I'm always ready for Thanksgiving. Like it's one of my favorite holidays just because I love the food, you know, like.
Yeah.
You know, yes, some horrible things have happened throughout history because of Thanksgiving, but the food and the being with friends and family, that's what's important. And that's what I focus on. That's what I choose to focus on. And oh my God, the food, especially stuffing. I love stuffing. I know a lot of people are like, really, they forget about the stuffing. You know, the turkey is the most important part, but the stuffing and the cranberry sauce are my two favorite parts of Thanksgiving, but only if the cranberry sauce is the consistency of Jell-O and comes in the shape of a can.
I learned something recently on Bon Appetit that unless it has been inside a beast, that's when it's called stuffing.
Oh, yeah, because it
was stuffed in there. But if it's never been inside a beast, it's called dressing.
Yes. So, yep.
Ah, hey, I didn't know that. It's so if anybody else didn't know that, hey, we're on the same page now.
It's the same recipe, but yeah, stuffing has been inside the turkey and has actual like turkey juices like mixed into it. But yeah, if it's never been inside the turkey or whatever creature, it's just dressing. Yeah.
Interesting. So never heard
little fun new facts with Sammy and Tessa.
Welcome. So, hey, speaking of fun facts, yes. Also, I feel like we haven't introduced ourselves in a while. Hi.
Oh, we haven't.
I'm Tessa. This is Sammy. Welcome, guys.
So yeah, just in case this is your first time listening, because sometimes people start with the newest episode and work their way back. She's Tessa. I'm Sammy. We talk about conspiracy theories and cryptids, which are things like Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster, which we've talked about both of those. So you can go back and find those. And then what we do at the start of every episode after we've bantered for, you know, 10 minutes is we flip a penny for our thoughts to decide who gets to go first. Tessa covers conspiracies. I cover cryptids, unless it's the 10th episode of the season, in which case we swap. And that's our swap-isode.
Swap-isode.
But for today, we are sticking with our own topics.
Yes.
Tessa, it is your turn to pick if it's heads or tails.
So I'm going to shake up the penny for our thoughts. And I think, let's see. I think we're going to go with heads this time. Usually tails has been like, you know, tried and true, but let's give it a shot. Oh, it is. It's heads this time.
There you go.
So
I feel like we've picked heads like the last three or four episodes, both of us.
Oh, really?
No. I
always
think
feel
so.
Like I pick tails and then, you know, apparently I pick heads.
I feel like we have. I'm pretty sure I picked heads last time too, but I'm not sure.
Conspiracy.
There you go.
Conspiracy. Exactly. So I learned a new word recently.
Okay.
It's thalassophobia.
Thalassophobia.
Yeah. You want to take a guess as to what it means?
Thalassophobia. I mean, it's obviously a fear of something.
Mm-hmm.
Thalassophobia. I have no idea.
It's an intense and persistent fear of the sea or fear of sea travel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've had a very nautical theme this season, but
yeah,
this one's going to be pretty fun. So, it brings to mind this story from when I was in like seventh grade, and actually one of our listeners is going to remember a lot of this because we did this together.
Okay.
So seventh grade, we did this whole like biology trip down to like San Diego, and we got to go snorkeling off the coast of these little islands. And
you guys in California have the best field trips.
We do.
God, that's not even fair. Like in South Dakota, I think we went to like a small museum in the town that was like 40 minutes away because you can't really go anywhere when there's like 8 feet of snow on the ground constantly. So I don't know. Plus there's, you know, I don't know. We never went on like a field trip to Mount Rushmore. That's like an 8-hour drive away. And they just, my senior year, they took us to the capital of South Dakota to like see, you know, Congress. But that was like our senior class trip.
How cool, though. It's old buildings, but
also
you know.
Quick fun fact. Sorry.
Yeah.
The capital of South Dakota, it looks like it's spelled Pierre. And most people from outside of the state call it Pierre, but it's actually pronounced Pierre. So that's a little fun fact. Like I said, it's spelled Pierre, and probably everybody else is right in calling it Pierre, but the residents of South Dakota insist that it's pronounced Pierre, South Dakota.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, contrary to Ron Burgundy's belief, it is not San Diego. It is San Diego. But yeah, there's like a little cluster of islands down there that they'll take you down to go snorkeling and stuff.
That's
and
so cool.
Oh man, it was so cold.
Oh,
we couldn't
bet.
Move. And like people were getting smacked around by sea lions. And so we ended up all, some people were getting sick. So we all ended up hopping back up in the boat. Anyway, heading back and stuff. So, but I do remember being in the water mm-hmm. and when I could finally, they're like, you know, just move your limbs. You'll warm up.
Right.
And I gave it a shot and I remember turning around and just seeing this expanse of ocean behind me and just like, oh, just the awe of just how deep and wide this unexplored area is of this part of the world. It's just so big. And so I wouldn't say that, I would be a puddle of fear that I turn into when I like finally get to the door of a haunted house when you ask me to like get back in the ocean, but I wouldn't call myself Poseidon's number one fan. Like,
yeah, like the ocean is
open
amazing.
Open water scares the crap out of me.
Oh yeah, no, we both talked about how it scares yes. the crap out of both of us. Like, yeah, the ocean is beautiful. I love playing on the beach. I even like swimming, you know, I don't even mind going a little bit out into the ocean as long as I can still see the shore.
Exactly.
You know.
So, but when you're thinking about holiday travel and how some of you may be crossing oceans to see each other and, or your family may be crossing an ocean to see you, mm-hmm. like in some cases, you may be wishing that you or your relatives would just get lost in the Bermuda Triangle, right? Like it's just,
is that what we're talking about?
If you know where
about?
I'm going now. Yes. So what is the Bermuda Triangle and where exactly do people go when they pass through it?
So it's really a good thing that I didn't claim the Bermuda Triangle tonight because that's exactly what I was going to claim. So it's a good thing you made me wait to even mention it until you talked about it because, yes, I love the Bermuda Triangle.
That's why I said it. Yay. So anyway, before we even started the episode, I was like, I feel like every time I do a really good episode, I'm like, Sammy, I think called dibs on that because he gives me really weird looks the whole time. And so I tried to like make sure he did not call dibs on this one before I did it. So
yeah, that's a good plan.
Let's dive right in. Speaking of the ocean, the Bermuda Triangle is pretty much the area of ocean between Miami, Bermuda, and Puerto Rico, but the boundaries are widely disagreed upon. It covers between 500,000 and 1.5 million square miles off the southern tip of Florida, and there are a lot of disagreements over exactly how big this area actually is. But it's an area where more than 50 ships and 20 airplanes are said to have mysteriously disappeared. Just out of thin air, never found anything.
Yep.
It's still, despite that, it is still one of the most heavily traveled areas of the ocean, and it's known for storms and harsh seas in certain seasons. So this area, as far as the legend, is referred to as the Devil's Triangle or Hurricane Alley, obviously, where it's very well known. It's where every hurricane just like sweeps on up and, you know, tickles Florida.
Right,
and then,
right.
You know, moves on, right?
Yeah, yep.
And but the written legends of the triangle date back as far as that philandering rapist Christopher Columbus.
Right,
know.
Yeah. Like, that's something that a lot of people don't realize about the Bermuda Triangle is this phenomena has been around for centuries. Like, mm-hmm. didn't I talk about Columbus in the Mermaids episode? I think I did. So it's like he saw a lot of stuff apparently on his way over here. And one of the things being he had problems in the Bermuda Triangle. So it's not like it just messes with electronic devices, which is what a lot of people think. It's been messing with people since before electronics were a thing.
And there is a reason for that I will get to. But what he said when he sailed through the area on his first voyage to the New World, he reported a great flame of fire, likely a meteor, that crashed into the sea one night. And then a strange light appeared in the distance a few weeks later. Mm-hmm. So he was even seeing like that stuff. Like,
yeah,
he was on some scurvy will do some nutty things to your brain.
Or maybe opium. Wasn't opium a big problem around that time? Or syphilis.
He was a dog, so.
Yeah. I mean, that's a very good possibility that I'd never considered.
Yeah. He also reported erratic compass readings in the area, but that was likely because at the time, a sliver of the triangle was one of the few places on Earth where true north and magnetic north lined up. So
really,
like the needle would just hang out where, you know, on magnetic north when it had been doing other things leading up to that spot. So
that's interesting.
Everybody gets all turned around. They're like, wait a second, which way are we really supposed to be going? And then if you don't know that that's like the spot where that happens yet, then of course you're going to get, you know,
I didn't know that. Like, I mean, I just, backwards. I didn't know that the Bermuda Triangle had a point that messed with compasses as well. Oh
yep,
my
and
God.
Just a portion of it.
That's
just
really interesting.
It, yeah.
Okay.
But it wasn't until an article in Agrosi magazine written in 1964 by Vincent Gaddis, who coined the phrase Bermuda Triangle, that this haunted hallway in the sea was given a title. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't the first writer to point out a correlation in the area. In 1952, George X. Sands wrote in a report for Fate magazine that he noted an unusually large number of strange accidents in the region. So, mm-hmm. again, people had been still commenting for a while, like, hey, a lot of people are going missing around this particular spot.
Right.
The legend was further stoked by author Charles Berlitz when he wrote a best-selling novel about the legend. And scores of other paranormal writers have blamed the Triangle's wrath on a lot of things, including aliens, Atlantis, or another intelligent undersea race sinking ships so they won't be discovered. They've even mm-hmm. tried to connect it to the Bimini Road that's like off the Bimini Island. You know that like natural formation that looks like a road under water?
Yes, yes, yes.
That is, scientists have figured out that that's actually a natural formation that has like...
Oh. That's just kind of like
it just grew that way, basically. But it looks like a paved street in the middle of the ocean for some reason.
Well,
right?
I mean, so, you know, rocks and stuff do really interesting things. Mm-hmm. Like, wait, what did you say the name was of it? The what road?
Bimini Road.
Oh, okay, never mind. But like, I mean, for example, like, have you heard of bismuth?
Mm-hmm.
It's a type of like alloy that mm-hmm. grows in like perfect like, squares. You know,
exactly,
and like blocks
exactly.
and stuff like that. So it's like, I'm not
the
surprised
way the structure
that,
of the molecule is, it just kind of builds on itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
So yeah, I guess I'm not surprised that nature does some crazy stuff. Nature, you crazy.
That's for sure. Nature, you crazy. but disappearances have also been blamed on sea monsters and time warps and reverse gravity fields, mm-hmm. like all kinds of stuff. But let's talk about some of the things that have gotten missing there. One particular tragedy caught the widespread public's attention in March of 1918. That's when the USS Cyclops, a 543-foot-long Navy cargo ship that served as a coal carrier with over 306 men and 10,000 tons of manganese ore on board, sank between the Barbados and Chesapeake Bay. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to show you a little picture.
Okay.
This is what it looked like.
Okay.
This thing just went missing.
That's a big boat.
Yeah.
Could just go missing.
Exactly. So it was on its way from Bahia Salvador to Baltimore, Maryland, but it never arrived. It made an unscheduled stop at Barbados on March 3rd and 4th to take on additional supplies, but after that, it disappeared without a trace. They never sent out a distress signal despite having all the tools to do so, and no wreckage was ever found.
Hmm.
The deaths of the 306 crew members and passengers remains the single largest loss of life in U.S. naval history not directly involving combat. So
right. Oh, wow.
All these guys just
300
missing
plus
off
people?
The face of the earth. Yep,
just
300 plus
vanished.
People.
Oh, that's terrifying.
In fact, in 1941, about 23 years later, two of the Cyclops sister ships also went missing along the same route.
My God, that's absolutely terrifying. Like, I mean, I've been fascinated and obsessed with the Bermuda Triangle since I was a kid, but that just scares the littlest bit of poop out of me.
Like, can you imagine just being in the, I mean, the ocean would be so easy to get lost in anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, there's
oh, yeah,
no
because
landmarks.
It's so big. There's no landmarks. I mean, when you're in the middle of the ocean, you can't tell which way you're going unless you're, I mean, it all looks the same. It's just water as far as the eye can see, horizon in every direction.
Exactly.
You know, and it's like, that's terrifying. That is absolutely terrifying.
And then if your compass is like stuck on north and
yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. Ugh. Ugh. Yeah. Well, after that, a pattern began. Vessels traveling through the Bermuda Triangle would either disappear or later be found abandoned somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
On December 28th, 1948, a passenger plane vanished in the night during a flight from San Juan, Puerto Rico to Miami, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
The weather was fine. Visibility was good, according to the pilot. They were within 50 miles of Miami when they suddenly disappeared with three crew members and 29 passengers on board.
They were that close?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
They were almost there. I mean,
that's just like, a couple of minutes for a plane.
Exactly. Miami would have been in sight, and they just went off course. But their disappearance was blamed on the plane not being properly charged before takeoff, resulting in communication failure and a freak strong headwind pushing the plane off course.
But that wouldn't make it just disappear from radar.
Yeah.
Like, I could understand that making communications drop out and maybe even, like, the plane just stall out, but it wouldn't just disappear from radar.
Exactly. It's just gone.
Ugh.
Weird. It's so weird.
It is. It's weird. It's terrifying. And you know, this happens, like, I mean, it doesn't happen as frequently as my childhood made it seem like it would. Like, I'm sorry, growing up, I thought the Bermuda Triangle was going to be a much more, like, play a much bigger role in my life than it ended up playing.
Right? And it just hasn't. It's been kind of a little lackluster. Yeah.
Same with, like, quicksand and stop, drop, and roll.
Exactly. You know, like,
I was under the impression that I was going to be constantly on fire. And
like,
I haven't used stop, drop, and roll once in my entire life. So, you know, I feel lied to, but kind of thankful that I was lied to.
The next time you get burned, see, they weren't preparing you for the right kind of burns.
Oh God, yeah, no, okay. but yeah, it's just, yeah, 50 miles, they were so close. Like,
so
they probably could have seen Miami from where they were,
and they just
bloop, disappeared,
gone. So this next one also involves planes and kind of takes kind of a sad turn. But in December, obviously all of these are sad. People went missing. But there's like some answers that kind of, I don't know. This is a very strange area. I'm just going to say that. But the Bermuda Triangle is a very strange place, whether some people agree or not.
Yes.
In December of 1945, five Navy bombers called the Avengers, carrying 14 men, took off from an airfield in Fort Lauderdale to conduct from some bombing practice runs over some nearby beaches.
Mm-hmm.
The practice mission was composed of all students except for the commander, Lieutenant Charles Taylor. A Lieutenant Charles Taylor. They were supposed to fly east 56 miles to Hens and Chicken Shoals to conduct their practice bombing runs there. Then another 67 miles east, then turn north for 73 miles, and then head straight back to base, a distance of 120 miles in a triangular course over the sea. But their compasses malfunctioned and Taylor got severely lost. Planes today have GPS trackers that they can easily use to look up anywhere they are in the world. But in 1945, planes flying over water had nothing to depend on for landmarks. So they had to know their starting point, how long and how fast they had flown, and in what direction. This guy didn't do his math right. And that's kind of the agreed upon answer for what happened here. In fact, what's sadder still about this one is that transmissions were picked up on the mainland from other pilots in the pack trying to get Taylor to change course. They knew where they were. And one student even was caught saying, if we could just fly west, we would get home. And he was right.
Gotcha.
But Taylor kept taking them further out to sea to the northeast.
Hmm.
All five planes flew aimlessly until they ran out of fuel and flew out to sea. And then a Dumbo flying boat was dispatched to try to find Flight 19 and bring it back. Within 2 hours, two more planes, the Martin Mariners, also joined the search.
Right.
So the two Mariners, though, were supposed to rendezvous at the search zone. The second one, which was called Training 49, never showed up, joining the five Avengers as missing.
Mm-hmm.
So another one.
Another one.
So one of the rescue planes that went to go look for him goes missing.
That's six planes now, right? in just this one little incident.
Exactly.
Oh my God.
A week-long search for the planes failed to turn up any evidence, and the official Navy report states it's as if they had just flown to Mars.
Yeah.
They didn't really expect to find anything, though. Those planes were huge, and they were called Iron Birds for a reason. They weighed 14,000 pounds empty, and those waves were rocking and rolling.
So they probably would have just sunk straight to the bottom.
Exactly. In fact, I've got a picture of what they look like here.
Now, aren't there some rumors that Amelia Earhart... Oh, okay. I see that.
You know, I had heard that.
Yeah, I'd heard some rumors that, like, maybe Amelia Earhart vanished into the Bermuda Triangle as well.
I had heard that, but, you know, when I was doing my research, I don't think she was actually flying in that area. So people kind of put the two together as if she had flown through there, but her course actually never took her through there. She was actually, she went missing on the other side of the world. So I think there's a Bermuda Triangle-like area on the other side of the planet, but there's also, you know, this particular zone.
Like, flights vanish sometimes. Like, what was that Malaysian Airlines flight? Just vanished. We never really figured, like, they found some wreckage that they think maybe it was part of this plane, but we don't know. We never really found that.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, honestly, the ocean is huge. You can't necessarily just, you know, hang out on top of a boat and be like, look down and say, oh, yeah, hey, there it is. Yeah. Like, it's, I mean, the water gets murky in spots, you know, maybe it's under silt, like, you know, for any reason, you know, there's, you know, we're not going to be able to find some of the stuff. I mean, you would think like heat signatures at some point, but, you know, after
a while,
when
it's been down there long enough, it doesn't hold heat. It doesn't retain it. So
exactly.
It's terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
Of course, there are always logical explanations, though, for the sudden disappearances of perfectly fine air and sea craft. Mm-hmm. In 1975, a librarian at the Arizona State University, Larry Kusch, he investigated some of these claims and found that there were a few places it seemed that a record keeper had just swapped some names around. He found where one noted a ship or a plane disappeared in calm seas, the record showed a raging storm had been in progress. So it was like somebody had gotten their wires crossed when they wrote things down. Other ships that had mysteriously vanished had actually been found, investigated, and the cause of their sinking had been determined. Okay. And in one case, a ship that was listed missing from the triangle actually went missing 3,000 miles away from there, and the author had confused the name of the ports that it was supposed to be going to.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's just, that's an ID10T error.
Exactly. So, gosh, somebody fill out a form. Let's get bureaucratic here. there's also the possibility of magnetic anomalies. There's the Agonic Line. There's one possibility is the failure to account for the fact that this place is there's no need for magnetic compass variation, resulting in navigational error and therefore disaster. So, like I said, that you don't need to account for which way north is, because north is north. So just go where you need to go. Like, you can see it's
so basically, what you're saying is people are trying to like overcorrect.
Exactly.
Because their compass just stops working. But if they just keep going the same direction, they'll be fine. But they try to overcorrect. And then next thing they know, they've been flying around in circles for hours and now they're lost.
Exactly.
We're out of fuel.
Now, this one I thought was really interesting. One explanation for the disappearances has focused on the presence of large fields of methane hydrates on the continental shelves.
Right.
Basically, these eruptions of methane gas can make the water airy and bubbly and so thin that it can't support a boat and it just sinks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
However, according to the USGS, no large releases of gas hydrates are believed to have occurred in the Bermuda Triangle for the past 15,000 years. So they're saying this doesn't really happen here. It's a possibility, but we haven't really seen it happen. But but they basically say these spouts can like shoot up in the air, take out a plane, and
absolutely can.
It's
a really interesting phenomena, you know, that like literally pockets of methane gas like under the crust of the Earth's surface but at the bottom of the ocean just pop, basically. Mm-hmm. These little bubbles and pockets just pop, and that gas just rises like blasts to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's just the consistency of it, it boats won't float. And yeah, it can absolutely reach up into the air and take out planes too. It's crazy.
Exactly.
Once again, nature, you crazy.
Nature, damn nature, you crazy. So remember the USS Cyclops that went missing and gone without a trace? No distress signal sent, just like poof. While the sinking remains a mystery, there could be some logical answers. The lack of a distress call certainly fuels the paranormal fire here. But remember, wireless communications in 1918 were really unreliable and would have not have been unusual for a rapidly sinking vessel to not have had a chance to send a successful distress call before going under. Right. So he could have been fussing with it and trying to get it out and still, you know, do you copy? Hello, you know,
right.
SOS. You know, frantic, and it still went under anyway. So
right. Well, and the magnetic field would have probably interfered with it as well.
You know, because
it absolutely can interfere with radio waves. So it's possible.
Exactly. And then what about the Mariner that disappeared looking for the Avengers? Mm-hmm. No, it didn't get stuck on the ice like Captain America. They were a little far south for that.
Right.
But the crew of the SS Gaines Mill reported an explosion over the water shortly after the Mariner had taken off. They headed toward the site and saw what looked like oil and airplane debris floating on the surface. None of it was recovered because of bad weather, but this is likely what happened to the other Mariner.
Right.
These planes were known as flying bombs, which would just burst into flame from even a single spark. And there is speculation that one of the men on board disregarded the no smoking sign and lit a cigarette, igniting the entire plane.
Smoke if you got them.
Smoke them if you got them. There's also the possibility of rogue waves, going back to the idea that it was the ocean that took it out. You know, took them out itself. These beasts can reach heights of up to 100 feet or 30 and a half meters for our friends in other countries.
Right.
They would be theoretically powerful enough to destroy evidence of a ship or even an airplane. And this is also an area we know today as Hurricane Alley. So, yeah, storms like to party right there.
Right.
Then they converge and, you know, just rip things to shreds. And yet we insist on using this area as a highway.
I don't understand it.
But in all honesty, we still don't have an answer for this place, and it still boggles the mind. However, the U.S. Coast Guard doesn't see this area as a threat. They liken this to an area, any area of a state of your choosing, of having a vehicle accident problem.
Right.
This just happens to be one for a different kind of transportation. The Coast Guard says in a review of many aircraft and vessel losses in the area over the years, there has been nothing discovered that would indicate casualties were the result of anything other than physical causes. No extraordinary factors have been identified. Even NOAA, no, not the guy from the Bible, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. I know that can be confusing in a story like this one with so much water. But even NOAA says...
I was literally about to get confused, but go ahead.
Even NOAA says there is no evidence that mysterious disappearances occur with any greater frequency in the Bermuda Triangle than in any other large, well-traveled area of the ocean.
Right.
So basically, they kind of act like that skydive place owner in Lodi when people unfortunately have accidents and pass away at his facility. He's like, you guys jumped out of the plane.
Oh, my
He's
God.
Like, he's like, I don't have any more accidents than anybody else does. Like that, I'm not even kidding. That's always his answer.
I'm so glad that I never went skydiving in Lodi.
Me too. Like, yeah.
That's terrifying.
But yeah, so that's my my piece about the Bermuda Triangle.
I love it. I love it so much. Like I said, just as a kid, you know, that was one of my other favorite things alongside the Loch Ness Monster, just because it was just so interesting. And then, you know, you hear the stories about like boats or planes that go missing and then turn up like 20 years later and nobody's aged on board, you know. And it's like, I know that those were just pre-internet creepypastas, but as a kid, I don't think I'd made that connection that they were fake, because they were so well written.
Oh, of course.
And I was just like, oh, that's what happens?
Even, so, you know, like, Ghost Ship is one of my favorite movies. I mean, even, what's that other one? There's another one that's kind of like Ghost Ship, but it's, they just find a ship that is just at sea and they mm-hmm. have to like get back off of it before it kills them. But
yeah,
I love those kinds of stories. I love the haunted ghost ship.
I think even like the trope. The original X-Files had an episode that was about planes flying through the Bermuda Triangle mm-hmm. And going missing for years. Like they were in World War II. They went through the Bermuda Triangle, came out the other side, and it was like modern day, or at least modern day for the X-Files. Or not X-Files. Twilight Zone. That's what mm-hmm. I meant. Not X-Files. You know, so it was like World War II. They flew through it and it was like, you know, the 1960s. And then they had to go back. It was like super crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, so, but yeah, you know,
it's fun to see in pop culture and these theories about something, you know, it's basically from what NOAA and the USGS are saying, the Bermuda Triangle is like the cul-de-sac of the sea and sky mm-hmm. or the roundabout that no one can figure out how to navigate. Yeah,
basically it's high traffic. So it's exactly. like, you know, the more traffic you have in a place, statistically speaking, you're going to have more accidents there because
exactly
statistics and math, but
math.
But, you know, maybe they also are going through time portals or maybe Atlantis, you know.
Exactly. Entirely likely. And maybe they're
possible.
Just, you know, off into other worlds. They flew to Mars. Maybe there's a portal to Mars there. Who knows?
Maybe.
Well, come back and let us know, please.
Yeah. If you've been through the Bermuda Triangle, please let us know.
All right,
anyway,
guys. Yes.
We're going to take our break and we'll be back with my cryptid.
Yay.
All right. So I hope you guys had a nice little break. I know I did.
I danced it out. I was like,
did you dance it out? I danced it out.
I like a dancing machine. I hope you guys did too.
You danced like nobody was watching, except I was right here the whole time.
You were lovingly and intently watching as I boogied down with my
judging.
Bad self.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So today I am finally going to talk about one of the most requested cryptids that we've had since starting this show a year and a half ago. This one's actually like a relatively young cryptid with the oldest sightings only going back to 1995.
Oh, wow.
So it's only like, you know, what is that? 24 years old
mm-hmm.
as far as sightings go. Despite the fact that it doesn't date back very far, it's really quickly become one of the most widely recognized cryptids out there, with it appearing in episodes of multiple TV shows, including The X-Files and South Park, and it even got its own card in Magic the Gathering.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, today we're going to go south of the border and talk about the vampiric goat sucker known as the Chupacabra.
Yay!
So, like I said, this one's just been requested so much. Like, everybody messages us and they're like, oh, hey, can you do the Chupacabra? And I'm like, it's happening. It'll happen. Just let it happen.
Yay.
So, the first known incident related to the Chupacabra comes from Puerto Rico in 1995, when a farmer found that 8 of his sheep had been killed and drained of their blood and had 3 small puncture wounds on their chest. Rumors quickly spread around the area about the vampire creature that killed livestock. In fact, the name Chupacabra literally translates to goat sucker, coming from the Spanish words chupar, which is to suck, and cabra, which is goat. So literally goat sucker.
Suck goater. Goat sucker.
Suck goater. Suck goater. Although that's the most commonly recognized origin story of the Chupacabra, it is interesting to note that in 1975, there was a very similar case of dozens of farm animals being killed in a town called Moca, that when it was attributed to El Vampiro de Moca, or the Vampire of Moca. Vampire of Moca. However, ultimately, that one was chalked up to a satanic cult killing the animals because, you know, when in doubt, blame Satanists.
Yeah, you know. Of course, that's the logical explanation. Blame the Satanists. No.
When in doubt, blame the Satanists.
God, don't blame them.
No, not God, Satan. So there's two different descriptions of chupacabras because there's technically two kinds. One is known as the true chupacabra, and the other is known as the candid chupacabra, or the blue dog. Mm. So true chupacabras are the size of a small bear. They are reptilian in appearance with leathery or scaly greenish-gray skin. They're 3 to 5 feet tall with large eyes, long claws, powerful legs for jumping long distances, and it hops like a kangaroo. a row of spines from the neck to the tail, and the quintessential cryptid glowing red eyes.
Ooh,
you know, because once again, you can't have a cryptid without glowing red eyes.
No, heck no.
That's just the way it works.
It's part of the handbook.
It's part of the cryptid handbook. Cryptid guide to being a creature of mystery.
Yes.
International creature of mystery. So the candid chupacabra, though, resembles a dog with mange. They're bluish in appearance, hairless. They have a pronounced spinal ridge, pronounced eye sockets, and fangs and claws. So that description's a little bit shorter, but yeah. So very, very different types of chupacabras. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't even sound like they would be related as far as species go.
No.
So we're going to get into the sightings now. So the first actual eyewitness sighting came just a few months after those first reports. In August of 1995, a woman named Madeline Tolentino claimed to have seen the creature in Canovanas, Puerto Rico, where it killed around 150 livestock in a single night.
Ooh, it was busy.
It was really busy. That's a lot of livestock to go dying in one night.
Yeah.
You know, unless it's like a suicide pact among goats.
Oh, my God.
A goat suicide pact.
Ah, don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Or the goat's milk.
Mm-mm. No.
Then on November 19th of 1995, 30 more people claimed to have seen the creature, with some saying that it swooped down from the sky and leapt over treetops. So it's like jump. It's like, you know, like Supermaning, like, you know. Able to jump over a building in a single bound sort of thing. I know. Terrifying.
Creepy.
It was discovered that dozens of livestock, including turkeys, rabbits, sheep, goats, cats, dogs, horses, and even cows, were dead with no explainable cause.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then 35 miles away in the town of Caguas, a local resident described what they saw, saying it had red eyes and hairy arms. Allegedly, he said the creature broke into the bedroom through a window and tore apart their child's stuffed bear before disappearing back through the window it came in, but not before leaving a puddle of slime and a piece of rancid meat on the windowsill.
What does it have against bears? Like, stuffed bears? Jeez.
I don't know. Maybe it thought it was another livestock, because it killed all those livestock and then ran and tore up a bear.
Like, what's one more?
What's one more stuffed bear for dessert?
And then
dessert?
Here's a hunk of beef, like
just a rancid hunk of meat.
Yep.
Thanks for the teddy. Here's payment in the form of a rancid piece of meat and a puddle of goo.
Slime. Ew.
Yeah. So over the course of like the next month and a half, so finishing up 1995, over 1,000 mysterious animal deaths were blamed on the chupacabra, with most of the deaths having similar traits of the animals being drained of blood from small puncture wounds. So in like a course of like 2-3 months, like 1,000, like almost like 1,200 animals died or more.
Ooh,
right?
Wow.
That's a lot.
Whoa.
Especially on a small island like Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
That's a lot. More eyewitnesses came forward and gave descriptions that I mentioned earlier, but also stating that the creature looked like a tailless monkey and that the spines on its back sometimes doubled as wings.
Ooh,
so
weird.
It could fly.
Weird.
Like those spines could unfold into wings and it could fly away. Yeah.
That's bizarre.
It's really creepy. The next sightings come from 2004, and it has migrated north at this point. It is now in the States. These sightings come from around San Antonio, Texas. But this is where they start to become hairless dogs and not these demon creatures from hell. So, a few sightings in and around San Antonio were reported of hairless dog looking creatures that also resembled kangaroos and rats. However, upon finding the corpses of the creatures, it was determined through DNA testing that they were, in fact, coyotes with severe cases of mange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, more commonly the yes. answer. Yeah.
Yeah. But there are some that haven't been explained away with mange, you mm-hmm. know, or coyotes with mange that do look like that, apparently. Then we skip ahead to March of 2005, and this is the first time the chupacabra was sighted outside of the Americas. And that is like, you know, outside of North America, Central America, South mm-hmm. America, Puerto Rico, stuff like that. This report comes from Central Russia in March of 2005, that tells of beasts that kill animals and suck their blood. 32 turkeys were killed and drained in one night, with reports from the neighboring villages where 30 sheep were killed and had their blood drained. And then eyewitnesses described the chupacabra with a lot of the same descriptors that we mentioned earlier. So now it's weird. In Russia.
Ooh, weird.
Somehow they
How'd it get
made
over
it
there?
Way yeah, I don't know, but somehow they made it way across the pond. August of 2006, Michelle O'Donnell of Turner, Maine. So now it's gone really far north into the States as well. Now it's up in, you know, New England. Mm-hmm. She described an evil looking rodent like animal with fangs that had been found dead alongside the road. The animal was apparently struck by a car and was unidentifiable. Photographs were taken and witness reports seemed to be in relative agreement that the creature was canine in appearance. But in widely published photos seemed unlike any dog or wolf that was known to live in the area at the time.
Hmm.
So it was just some weird doggish looking creature, but it wasn't any sort of species of dog that's from around there.
Just a weird looking dog.
A weird looking dog. Photos from other angles, showed that it looked kind of like a Chow or Akita mixed breed dog.
Hmm.
But it was hit by a truck. So, or a car.
Yeah.
By a car. Yeah. So it's like, you know, it was kind of mangled. It was reported that the carcass was picked clean by vultures before experts could examine it. For years, residents of Maine have reported a mysterious creature and a string of dog maulings. Hmm. So, yeah. So it might not be the only one in Maine, which is, you know, terrifying that they are breeding and getting all over the states and
rather not
all
have
up in,
more than one of those.
All
I'd
up in my hometown and business. Yeah, I'd rather have none. Thank you very much.
Oh, life's a little exciting with one, isn't it?
I suppose as long as that one is nowhere near me. So, next sighting comes from August of 2007. A woman named Phyllis Canyon found three animals in Cuero, Texas. She and her neighbors reported to have discovered three strange animal carcasses outside of her property. She took photographs of the carcasses and then preserved the head of one in her freezer.
Ew.
Before turning it over for DNA analysis. She literally, I mean, this woman's got a stronger stomach than I do, but
Phyllis
went out there and hacked off the head of this creature and was like, I'm just going to keep this in the freezer so that I can turn it into DNA analysts.
Phyllis, what are you doing?
That's weird.
No.
Like, it's not just me, right? That's weird, right?
I don't know if I would take the head. No.
Like,
I don't know if I would take any of it.
I wouldn't take any of it. I'd maybe poke it with a stick and then go on about my business because I definitely would not put a, you know, like roadkill animal's body in any capacity in my freezer.
No.
Where food goes.
No, not where food goes. No.
Like maybe she wrapped it in saran wrap first. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. And then some like tin foil and
maybe
a freezer
Ziploc bag.
I hope so.
I don't know. Maybe she didn't get mad. She got glad.
Yep.
And stuck it in his, you know, a glad bag. I don't know. So she reported that nearly 30 chickens on her farm had been exsanguinated over a period of years. So this one took a while. This wasn't like 30 mm-hmm. chickens in one night. This was over a few years, 30 total chickens were drained of their blood. So it was a factor that led her to believe that maybe these carcasses were the chupacabras that she'd heard about.
Mm.
And, you know, they all three died, I guess, at the same time on her property after eating one of her apparently poisoned chickens.
Ew.
I mean, for all three of these creatures to just drop dead.
Yeah.
After, you know, I mean, maybe she was food poisoned her, you know, chickens.
Maybe the sun came up.
I don't. Yeah. Or it's just salmonella. I don't know.
Who knows? Oh, yeah. Hmm.
So state mammalogist John Young estimated that the animal in Canyon's pictures was a gray fox suffering from mange. Mm. Which gray foxes are really cute if you've never seen
them.
They
are.
You should look them up. They're really cute. In November of that year, biology researchers at Texas State University San Marcos determined from DNA samples that the suspicious animal was a coyote. The coyote, however, had grayish-blue, mostly hairless skin and large fanged teeth, which caused it to appear different from a normal coyote.
Hmm.
Additional skin samples were taken to attempt to determine the cause of the hair loss, though.
Hmm.
But there, I didn't find any results for that. But I guess they said it was just, it had like a really weird strain of mange, mm-hmm. because there's different strains of it, and it had like a rare strain of it that made it look really bad. So that was 2007. So, a few months later in January of 2008, a sighting was reported at the province of Capiz in the Philippines. So now it's in the Philippines. Some of the residents from the barangay believed that it was the chupacabras that killed 8 chickens. The owner of the chicken saw a dog-like animal attacking them.
Huh.
So now it's in the Philippines. It's getting everywhere.
It's getting everywhere. Yeah. Great. Love
it. I don't want that.
No. Do not want.
Do not want. September of 2009, CNN aired a report showing close-up video footage of an unidentified dead animal. The same CNN report stated that locals had begun speculating the possibility that this might be a chupacabra. A taxidermist from Blanco, Texas, reported that he received the body from a former student whose cousin had discovered the animal in his barn where it had succumbed to poison left out for rodents. So I guess a taxidermist's student's cousin got the body of this thing that had died in his barn from eating rat poison.
Hmm.
Sorry, that I had to repeat that to myself in a way that made more sense.
Yes. Yes. Pretty much.
Well, the taxidermist expressed his belief that this is a genetically mutated coyote.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a chupacabra, but just thought it was a mutated coyote. But he did end up donating it to the Lost World Museum in Phoenix, New York on the 18th of September, 2009. So, you know, and that museum displays it as a potential chupacabra corpse.
Wow.
To this day, apparently.
Hmm.
Yeah. So he taxidermied it. He didn't just like give them, hey, here's a dead thing. He said, here's a stuffed dead thing,
here
which
you go.
Makes it okay. You
Have
know,
fun.
Getting,
you go.
It's weird it getting a dead thing. It's not weird getting a stuffed mounted dead thing.
Put it behind glass somewhere. Here. Let people look at it.
You know, and I mean, I guess I can't really like be too judgmental of stuffed dead things that are mounted. I have a stuffed dead thing that is mounted
on
my desk
right in front
of me right now.
Yes, you do.
I have a jackalope stuffed and mounted on my desk right in front
yes,
of me.
You do.
So I can't judge. I cannot judge.
The most glorious jackalope.
He's so handsome. He's
he
a handsome boy. He's got a nice rack.
Yes.
Of
antlers. He does.
He's a 6-point buck. But anyway, I digress. July of 2010, reports were filed of a chupacabra being shot by animal control officers in Hood County, Texas. Mm. A second creature was also reportedly spotted and killed several miles away. However, an officer of the Hood County Animal Control said Texas A&M University scientists conducted tests and identified the corpse as a coyote canine hybrid. So I guess coyotes and domestic dogs were crossbreeding or something. And that it had signs of mange and internal parasites, which that's so gross.
Poor thing.
The second, yeah, I know. The second reported chupacabra shot July 9th, about 8 miles south, was eaten by vultures before it could be taken for testing. And then the last and most recent sightings I have are from October and December of 2018. So just last year. There were many reports of potential chupacabras in Manipur, India.
Oh.
So now they're in India, too.
Oh, God.
I know. They're everywhere. So many domestic animals and poultry were being killed or were killed in a suspicious manner as a chupacabra does. Many people said that they had seen the species with their own eyes. However, forensic experts stated that there was no proof of chupacabras, but that street dogs were responsible for mass killings of domestic animals and that poultry or and poultry after studying the remnant of a corpse. So they said it was just wild street dogs. So, but still, they're, you know, now we've got them in five or six different countries.
Yep.
Yeah. Five or six different countries on three continents. That's a firm pass for me.
Yeah. Especially so, if they can fly, like, and especially now they're flying if they can across fly. Oceans, like, or somebody's smuggling them around, or who knows?
Yeah, or they're sneaking onto ships. Nope. I don't know.
Nope.
So, potential explanations as to what El Chupacabra is. It's that it's a product of top secret U.S. government genetic experiments in the rainforests of Puerto Rico.
Likely.
Because of once again, when in doubt, now this time it's not when in doubt, blame the Satanists. When in doubt, blame the U.S. government.
Exactly.
Because we do some shady stuff.
Shady, shady stuff.
We are so shady. Another explanation is that it is an extraterrestrial being brought to Earth on spaceships. So aliens, you know. A sinister biological warfare program. So basically bioweapons. You know, creatures created for the intent purpose of being weapons. This one's my favorite. An embodiment of God's wrath.
Oh.
That was literally on the list of potential explanations for the chupacabra. Is that it is the embodiment of God's wrath. He's mad.
Yeah.
Right? He's mad, so he sends this horrible disfigured creature to kill chickens and goats.
Like,
instead
but
of
he
punishing
loves you.
The people. But that's the funny thing is he's not punishing people. He's mad, but he's not mad enough to actually punish people. He's like, I'm mad, but I'm going to go punish these goats.
Just, you. Screw these goats in particular.
These goats in particular. This one was interesting. Some of the earlier sightings from around 95 happened around the time that the movie Species premiered.
Oh.
And some people, some of the descriptions that people gave were very very similar to the character Syl from the movie Species, which I have a picture of her that I'm going to show to you because I've never seen Species before. I don't know if you have. But that is the character Syl.
Oh.
She's very creepy looking. She kind of looks like a mixture of a, well, from like the movie Alien, the whatever they're called. Why can't I think of what they're called? The aliens from Alien.
Yeah. You know, the aliens. Yeah. I can't remember what they're
called
either.
She looks like a mixture of that, a cone head, and C-3PO.
Yeah.
But like a female C-3PO because accurate. She has boobs.
Yes. But, yeah. Yeah. So, interesting. Okay. So they think it's like that there was.
They think that
related
people just kind of saw the movie and let their imaginations get carried away. So, yeah. And then the last two explanations are that it's wild dogs and coyotes with mange, which is this first picture here of a dead coyote with mange, which is terrifying looking. Yeah. They are, you know, very disfigured.
Yeah.
They've lost a lot of hair. They're bluish in color. It's attacked the gums and made them recede, making their fangs look longer. And then the last explanation, which is not as morbid or terrifying, is it's a breed known as the Mexican hairless dog.
Oh,
which
that.
They're kind of gross looking, but also kind of adorable too. If you've seen the movie Coco, dog Dante was a Mexican hairless dog.
Yeah. Interesting.
So,
okay.
Yeah. So they're kind of like a Sphinx cat or something like that, where they're just naturally hairless.
They're cute.
So, yeah. But so that's the chupacabra, you guys.
How interesting.
And Now I've finally talked about it, so you can get all the way off my back.
Yay! All the way off. All the way off.
But,
well, cool. So, very neat. That was a great episode. That was
We talked about two really good things, or good ones today.
We did.
So
mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. So thank you guys for listening. We will be back again on December 15th.
Yes.
So we'll be gone for a month. So don't look for an episode on December 1st because there won't be one. We haven't stopped making episodes. We haven't, you know, mm-hmm. we're not quitting on you guys. It's just we're taking a month break to kind of like celebrate Thanksgiving and then, you know, get ready. And then, we'll put out an episode on December 15th, which will be kind of our Christmas episode. And then we'll be gone for another month and we'll be back on January 15th. Just that way we can celebrate Christmas and New Year's with our friends and family. Yes. So,
and you guys can too. And we're very excited. Yeah. And and it's going to be a great
season.
Just
say Christmas. It's all the holidays.
All the holidays.
There are a bunch of, it's Christmas for us, but we don't want to disregard the other amazing holidays that
all
are
around
the time
world.
Of year too.
All around the
world. And like we said, our next episode is actually going to be special. Besides it coming out on December 15th, it'll be special because Tessa and I will actually be recording together in the same room again.
Yay!
Which we used to do, but now I live half a country apart.
Yay! And yes, it'll be nice. We'll get to finish out the year that way together, back in action. And we can't wait to share another episode with you guys. And thank you so much for listening each and every day. And thank you so much for sharing us with your friends.
Yes. So, and once, I just completely brain farted.
I got
all the way off my own back and completely brain farted.
Your FBI agent is offended. Your CIA agent.
My NSA agent.
Your NSA agent.
But, well, they didn't forget, and we should make sure that you don't forget.
Big Brother is watching. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Conspiracies and Cryptids with Sammy and Tessa. Don't forget to check out our website, www.conspiriesandcryptids.com, for more episodes and other information.
And if you're really enjoying what we're doing, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/cryptipod. That's CRYPTIPOD. There you can find different ways to support us and get some awesome goodies along the way.
While you're at it, you can also find us on all of your favorite social media platforms like Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. That's any one of those at Cryptipod.
And if you're enjoying our podcast, please think about leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. Leave us 5 stars and a nice little blurb about why you like us. It helps us to gain some traction and find some new listeners.
And while you're at it, don't forget to tell your friends, because our friends are your friends.
And don't forget, Big Brother is watching.